We read today what Jesus said in Luke 24 to two disciples on the road to Emmaus on that Sunday afternoon when he rose from the dead. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Super Bowl III became rather famous in the history of the NFL. This game featured the New York Jets and their young upstart quarterback, Joe Namath. They were up against the more accomplished Baltimore Colts, who had on their roster a Hall of Fame quarterback, Johnny Unitas. Well, prior to that game, Namath did something never done before, not on that big of a stage. He guaranteed victory over the Colts. He said it from a lawn chair. Since then, others have imitated, even successfully, such a claim. I have a mental image in my head of a major league slugger extending his bat in the direction of an outfield fence, indicating his plan to park the next pitch with a home run swing over in that direction. I believe it has a phrase, he called his shot. Well, these athletes were not the first to promise victory over the other side. That distinction belongs to the triune God, with stakes much higher than winning a championship. When the enemy Satan had corrupted God's people and brought into their lives and our lives the guilt of sin, the reality of death, the real prospect of hell, God stepped up and made quite an announcement. He guaranteed defeat of the devil. He promised victory for himself and his people when he told Satan in Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. If a football coach or a quarterback is so bold as to guarantee victory, I doubt either one would send the game plan to the other team and tell them, read this. This is what we're going to do on Sunday. You try to stop us. Well, in a way, that's what God did. He laid out his game plan for victory in the Old Testament for many to see, including Satan. He promised to send a champion, a descendant of David, born in David's city, born of a virgin mother, who would be Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord promised that the God-man would do what Adam failed to do. He would never fall into sin. He would live a perfect life. The Lord promised that he would put on the God-man, the Holy One, the sins of us all, and punish him for what we did. God then promised that this sacrifice would mean forgiveness of all sins, and on that basis, reversal of what the devil did. Life instead of death, heaven instead of hell, for all who put their trust in the one God sent. God even laid out his end game, his, shall we say, fourth quarter strategy, the resurrection of the Messiah, and his ascension back to heaven. Yes, the devil must have known the game plan. You can tell from something he did early on. Why do you suppose King Herod ordered the slaughter of the Bethlehem babies? That's the devil's work, trying to eliminate Jesus before he had the chance to do anything. Let's jump ahead to the second half, as it were. Can you see the pivotal moments? The head-on-head clash between Jesus and the devil in the wilderness, but none of the temptations worked. The devil did manage to get two of the Lord's disciples to stand in the way. Peter tried to prevent Jesus from going to the cross when he said, "Far be it from you, Lord. This should not happen to you." To which Jesus replied, you know the words? "Get behind me, Satan." Peter would later deny Jesus while Judas betrayed him. One by one, it seems, the Lord is losing human allies. He would go to the cross all by himself, with no one covering his back, when he endured the worst part, that God-forsakenness on that Friday afternoon, feeling the full brunt of God's anger for sins we did aimed at Jesus. Meanwhile, the devil is quite free to pile on, to make this as unbearable as he could in the hopes that Jesus would give up. It's an all-out blitz that came up short when we hear the Lord cry out, "It is finished." You're familiar with the term Monday morning quarterback? I imagine there are a few of those today. The Emmaus disciples, very poor Monday morning quarterbacks. They had God's game plan in the Old Testament, and they were there in person to see Jesus carry it out, healing all kinds of diseases, raising the dead, never committing a sin. But his death on the cross was a real head-scratcher. It did not fit their idea of how to win victory, redeem Israel. I believe we would have done no better. We have our own ways of being foolish and slow of heart to believe. Maybe we think God should do it some other way in our lives. Or perhaps we think that we have to do something, make up for our sins, add to what Jesus did to make our salvation secure. Or we lose sight of the fact that Jesus lives as promised and walks with us day by day. The analogy of a football game, a Super Bowl championship at that, has limits, big ones, in portraying all that Jesus did for us. It was no game. This was war. If Jesus loses, so do we, in the worst possible way. When Jesus wins, however, it's a victory unparalleled. For unlike the fans of a Super Bowl champion whose thrill will eventually fade, we get to share in all the spoils of victory and keep them forever. That is the Lord's promise to us, and the devil won't be making a comeback. The most Satan can do is hang around, try to tempt us to let go of our victory in Christ. Thankfully, Jesus can do for us what he did for the Emmaus disciples when he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We too can read God's game plan in the Old Testament and watch the highlight reel in the New Testament with Jesus giving us the play-by-play of what he did and the Holy Spirit increasing our understanding, our faith in those promises kept, those prophecies fulfilled, our sins removed forever, our death overturned, heaven opened to us. Thank you, Jesus. That's our cheer of celebration as we get to be Monday morning quarterbacks of the greatest victory ever won and the greatest champion this world will ever know. Amen. Let's join in doing just that. Singing the first stanza of hymn 738, the first stanza.